This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. I got to spend some time with the beginning of Saints Row 4, but don't tell Loki. Plus, the head all gamers wanted to roll finally rolled to Zynga. Tonight is July 7th, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
It's like you guys missed me or something. Off for a week, not putting podcasts up for a couple weeks, and you're still here. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a July edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. Also, you will be able to check in live to the show if you are logged in, get points and loot, first points and loot from this show for the month of July, just like SSJ100 Matt and DC Nate. They got in 4 and 6 seconds after the show was declared live on the site. So congrats to them. You can stop hammering the show. And apparently, I guess, looking at this is the 200th live show on VOG, I guess. Because that's the, at least since we started doing the live check-in thing. So, and I think we were doing that since the beginning. I can't remember. This is the 200th live show on VOG. So congrats to us. Yay. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number. Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show. That is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. So a little quick note about the previous episodes. You know, as if you haven't been kind of keeping up and you're kind of wondering, where have you been since E3? I got back from E3 and about 2 hours after the June 16th show. Is that the... I can't remember. The show right after E3. I do the show. 2 hours later, my house gets hit by lightning. And it like fries like a whole bunch of stuff in my house, including my entire internet and all that stuff. So I take care of that. There actually is something else going on I'm not going into that's kind of a bigger deal than that. And unfortunately, that has taken me away from being able to do these shows, which I've been able to do the live shows for the most part, but not the podcasts. I've not been able to edit them out. And actually, the June 23rd show, the second show, actually had a really wonderful interview with The Witcher 3 developers. So if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, that episode is up because I'm going to put them up in sequential order. So go back and listen to that, even if you don't listen to the rest of the show. That's kind of what's been going on. I don't want to get too much into the personal stuff because I know most people probably don't care about that stuff. So maybe like during the OLR call, I'll fill the people in on what's going on with all the lightning damage and all that stuff, because that saga is pretty much over now. The game, I actually did get to play a game. Breakman will be so happy. He is in chat. So he'll be so happy. I did actually get to play a game in between dealing with all this other stuff going on. And it was a PC game, and I'm hoping that Loki is not in studio yet, because he will be raging. In fact, he's already kind of cried about this a little bit on Twitter. But I did actually get to spend some quality time with Saints Row 4. Now, I got to spend some quality time with it at E3. In fact, you can actually go on YouTube now and see the E3 demo that I had played. Not me personally, but they went through and showed everybody else what they showed us at E3. But what I actually got a hold of, thanks to Deep Silver, was a little early access preview. And it's about... If you go straight through the missions. It's about an hour. It's about the first hour of the game, but I probably spent about 5 hours with it. And, you know, it's basically just to give us a taste. It doesn't come out till August 20th, I don't think. But basically just to give us a taste and let us kind of get used to it in advance of getting the actual review copy. That's kind of the way Deep Silver works with the PC keys that they do. And I will say that it is it's definitely the Saints Row that you remember from Saints Row the Third. It is definitely the over-the-top, you know, if and the funny thing is if I go through, and I did this with a friend, I'm not going to do it here because I kind of don't want to spoil things even though other previews have spoiled it. If you go through and just explain, okay, first this happens, then this happens, then this happens, people will just stare at you and be like, really? Really? And it doesn't make sense. But when you're actually playing it, you're like, okay, I can see that it's nuts, but I can, okay, if that's the rules of the world, then that's the rules of the world. Raginator says, for whatever reason, I can't picture Black Wolf playing any game that even resembles either a first-person shooter or a Grand Theft Auto. Well, good thing you don't have to picture me, because I play those. I do play them, you know, I'm just not good at them, and I don't stream them. But, no, I mean, this one, the casual mode, it is a pretty easy mode. I did not really have that much trouble with aiming, which is usually my big problem. I didn't have that much trouble aiming in Saints Row 4, so I was very happy about that. But basically, it's got an over-the-top storyline. They do pay homage to other game modes in the first 15 minutes, other games and other gaming play styles. And, you know, it's even enough that even I kind of knew what was happening next. I'm like, are they really going to? Yes, they're really going to do that kind of mode from big-budget first-person shooter. Once again, they've really done a good job with some of the song choice. They've got some licensed music, especially some licensed music in the first 15 minutes that just it's so beautiful when it comes on, and it totally works with the over the top scenario that you're in. I probably in the first hour I probably said about six times, are they really about to do that? Yep, they just did that. And I hope that carries on throughout the rest of the game, because a lot of times you can see that, you know, they spend a lot of time on the first couple hours of the game because that's the part most players are going to see, and then it kind of trails off and things get old. And I've always kind of worried about that with, you know, when I played the E3 build of Saints Row 4, I did get to play a lot with the dubstep gun, and I got to play with the black hole gun, which you can see in the YouTube videos if you really want to see those. And I got bored after about 5 minutes. Because it was like, okay, cool, you know, I can... I mean, at least I was using them just mayhem in the open world part. And you do get to play with the open world part of Saints Row 4. And the open world part, it is basically, it's a cross between Saints Row and Crackdown. So very, very early on, you get your superpowers. Which, like I said, in the context of the world that they're creating, it makes sense for you to have superpowers. But just, you know, me saying that you have superpowers, they're like, really? Really? But it is a lot like Crackdown, and there is even the there's these data clusters that you have to collect, which are kind of like the Crackdown orbs, and you can hear them, and so you instinctively want to go collect them all. So there's the collection mini game in there, and it has some of the other aspects of the activities that you can do from Saints Row the Third. They're all there. I only got to see a little bit of it, and you know. Driving around, I mean, it's the same, even though I stopped driving once I got my superpowers, because basically you can run fast and jump high. And so why do you need a car when it's just easier to just run and jump over buildings? And there's even races that have to deal with that. I did actually play a little bit of co-op with Shadow Next Gen, and actually if you read his preview, I think he put it, I think it's on GamingTarget.com is his preview. I can't remember if he put it, he does multiple different sites, and I can't remember where he wrote his preview. And he doesn't mention me at all. He's like, I co-opted with a buddy and did all this. And I'm like, okay, fine, cool. Don't mention me in your article. Let's see if I care. But we actually did go through the entire, like, story stuff co-op. And it was interesting the way that they handled it, is that sometimes I was the host. So I was kind of the main character. And he kind of sometimes would sit and watch my cutscenes. Other times we would both do the cutscene. Sometimes I would watch him do a quick time event. Like, if he walked up to somebody first, then he would do the quick time event. And then if I walked up to somebody first, I would do the quick time event. Or if it was a big story moment, a lot of times it would just show me. Or it was kind of, we didn't exactly figure out how it worked, but one of the times that we did something, he failed the quick time event. And then I was able to go in and actually do the QuickTime event. So, you know, it did some neat little co-op things in there. And then we did some co-op activities, you know, like a death match and things. And I was actually surprised because one of the things we've been doing here at Vogue is these gaming nights. And every time we have done PC gaming nights where we try to play online on PCs, it is always such a hassle. And Saints Row 4, it felt like doing a console game. You know, it actually worked out of the box. Didn't have to open any ports, didn't have to do anything, it just worked. So I was very happy about that, and, you know, we had a lot of fun. So I think Saints Row 4, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've only played the first hour, even though I could take over areas and stuff and do the open world stuff for much longer, but I played the first hour of the story, and it definitely keeps the charm of Saints Row the Third, which is what I'm going to compare it to. Not really Saints Row 1 and Saints Row 2, because I don't think they had even the same over-the-topness as Saints Row the Third. But it definitely keeps that, and it's just I hope that they can sustain it for the rest of the game. I hope that they're not blowing everything in the first couple hours. And for reference, if you watch the E3 video and you see the stuff that goes on in the White Crib, that's actually the second story sequence. So there's actually a story sequence before then, and then I played, you know, a couple story sequences after that, and that's when my preview ended. ActF says, I didn't mention him in his Sacred Citadel review, but I mentioned you on the podcast, and more people listened to the podcast than read that review. Raginator says, forget all that. The real question is, can you beat someone senseless with a giant purple dildo? No, you cannot. As far as I can tell in the preview, that weapon does not make a return. There were a couple other things that they kind of changed. If you played Saints Row the Third, when you created your character, you could have there were three male, three female, and then zombie, where all the dialogue was being read by a zombie. And you could play the whole game as a zombie. They do not have the zombie returning. However, I immediately selected the option that they show instead, and it's very self-referential. You have to actually kind of know a little bit about the gaming industry to get why it's so funny. But I laughed, and some of the dialogue that is done with that option, very self-referential, and it was a great nod, and the guy that does it did a great job with it, and obviously has a good sense of humor. ActF asks, would I compare Saints Row 4 to Crackdown? It's the same in the sense of the open world, and you know, you have the running and the jumping up the buildings, and you have to collect all the data clusters, which are the orbs. But this one is still very silly and over the top, more so than Crackdown. And Saints Row 4 doesn't have an annoying narrator or announcer or anything like that, because that's what I remember from, I think, Crackdown 2, was we wanted to shut that guy up. And there is none of that. Although it would have been funny if they had gotten Logan Cunningham, who's the voice of the narrator in Bastion, to do some narration in Saints Row 4, but I don't think they did. Breakman asks, can I make a sex addict BDSM character with an extreme fetish for the color orange and feet? Yes, you can. You actually can. And there are several taunts and things that would work just fine with that. Fifth Dream says, I loved Saints Row the Third more than I ever expected to, mostly because I could make a character the way I wanted and play dress up and then run around with them and play the game. And that's the same thing with Saints Row 4. All that stuff, the dress up stuff, the character creation, that is all the same as from Saints Row the Third. They've added some stuff, but it is all there. And Breakman does ask, does it have a Bobby Blackwolf mode? Like I said, casual mode is pretty... I didn't run into any problems. And they actually do some stuff, like, depending on the story mission, like, sometimes you'll have regenerating health. Other times, the enemies, as you kill them, will drop health, and as you're running near them, you will attract the health. So there, it is kind of a Bobby Blackwolf mode. So that's kind of my preview of Saints Row 4. It is not a review, so I can't really review it. I'm not going to give it a grade, because I've only played about an hour of it. And I couldn't talk about it until July 3rd. So even though I had played it beforehand, if I had been able to do a show last week, which I wasn't because my internet sucked that night and then it was fixed the next morning, that I wouldn't have been able to talk about it then, even though I had played it by then. So anyway, Saints Row 4, I liked the first hour. I hope the rest of the game can live up to that first hour, and I'll hopefully find out and let you guys know in a month or so. So let's talk about the news story. And this kind of, you know, goes into what we had talked about 2 weeks ago last time I did a show. And the fallout from me talking about what we talked about on the two weeks ago. And that's that, you know, a lot of people, we talked a lot about how Microsoft reversed their policies and, you know, got rid of a lot of their ideas, which I considered were forward-thinking ideas. I think, actually, they were a little bit too people weren't ready for them. They were a little bit too ahead of their time, and I think they needed to wait a couple more years before implementing them. And I'm sure that they figured the same thing out, and that's why they got rid of a lot of the features for now and may reintroduce them, trickle them in over time instead of trying to force them on people here in 2013. Well, a lot of people wanted one guy. They wanted a head to roll. A lot of gamers really wanted somebody to pay the price, just like how Adam Orth paid the price several months ago when he said deal with it on Twitter. Gamers love watching people be unemployed. And unfortunately, he's not being unemployed, but someone's head did roll. The sword has had someone fall on it. Reuters reports that Don Matrick, the head of Microsoft's Xbox business, will replace Zynga's founder Mark Pincus as chief executive next week, and he will get a hefty, largely stock-based compensation package of about $50 million in the coming years, the company said in a regulatory filing on Wednesday. So yes, Don Matrick, the head of Xbox, who a lot of people blamed for a lot of the miscommunication and things that have gone on in the Xbox division over the past couple years, has left Xbox. He has left Microsoft. He is washing his hands of the entire thing, and he's moving to Zynga, where everybody already is always online and already accepts that. So in the first year, Matrick will receive a base salary of $1 million, a sign-on cash bonus of $5 million, and a 2013 bonus of $2 million on the average bonus of Zynga's other executives. So in totally screwing up Microsoft's reputation in the short term, he gets millions and millions of dollars from the company that makes Farmville. To compensate for shares he lost in leaving Microsoft, Matrick will receive a make-whole grant of $25 million, or about 9 million restricted stock units that will vest over the next 3 years. These shares are currently valued at over $30.5 million. At the end of the first year, Matrick will get 45.32% of his 9 million restricted stock units, valued by the company at about $11.3 million based on the June 26 price. This takes his salary in his first year to a total of $19.3 million. So $19.3 million to do what he did with the Xbox One public perception. It's blah, 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 and they're also giving him other stuff. So if the company is pleased with Matrick's performance, he is eligible for grants of new stock with a target of a value of $7 million in 2014. In following years, the company's board can award him new stock grants, but will try to keep the target value at $7 million. So he was credited, and this is according to Reuters, credited with building Microsoft's Xbox business into a gaming powerhouse. Matrick officially takes over Monday as chief executive at Zynga, known for its Farmville games. His new role, leading a company that publishes social media-based titles and smartphone games, will be a marked departure from his long career in the world of big-budget packaged console games. He headed successful franchises such as FIFA during his 15 years at EA, then he joined Microsoft in 2007. At Microsoft, he helped turn the Xbox business into a profitable venture after years of operating losses, eventually propelling the device into the top-selling console in the United States. So, basically, I mean, what they're looking at is that they're looking at the way that Don Matrick was able to help start put companies in the right direction. You know, he helped a lot with some of the EA franchises, and he actually was a small game developer before joining EA. And then he went, and he actually did a lot of good things at Microsoft in the Xbox division. It really wasn't doing too well in 2005 and 2006. And the first Xbox didn't do too well at all. But he was able to kind of turn things around and make things better. And then he kind of overreached a little bit with the Xbox One. And so now he's going to go, and it's a lot easier. Speaking as somebody who has left something that was had a very long-standing tradition, sometimes it is easier to leave that place that has the long-standing tradition and the huge backlog of other people and fans and stuff, and go and try to create something new or help a struggling something that's struggling go further than it can. A lot of times it's easier to build something than to maintain something. So that's kind of what he's doing here. Microsoft there, I think Steve Ballmer was taking over the Xbox division. Then he announced somebody else might be taking over the Xbox division. Who knows? But the figurehead for all the stuff you hated about the Xbox One internet is now at a company that the internet already hates anyway. So there's not much he's going to. He can't do any more damage at Zynga. Ganger even agrees. Matrick is probably better at turning around companies, so he may be what Zynga needs. And I think that's what it is that he can turn around a company, and then somebody else is better at sustaining what he's turned around. And so I think this is going to be the best for him. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of money out of this. Microsoft gets rid of the stain of the PR because he did not do a good job handling what happened in March. And stuff. He did not do a good job with that. But he did do a good job in 07 and 08, because that's when a lot of people started buying Xbox 360s. That's when the 360 became the powerhouse that it became today. Sony was not doing too well in the PR area. Sony was kind of straggling behind, and now Sony's kind of figured it out. And now Sony, I do predict that the PS4 is going to be the one to beat. Because Sony's actually figured it out, and they've got the right people. Where Microsoft had the right people, and Sony was there doing, Ridge Racer and Giant Enemy Crabs. DC Nate says he can't do any more damage. Challenge accepted. I actually want to see him do more damage because I don't like them. But this is a new. Sometimes you just need a change of scenery. Dungeon Buster says it was probably something that was planned for a while, and there's talk that it was part of a reshuffling at Microsoft anyway. And I heard that as well. But there's been a couple different ways. You know, some were saying that there was going to be a restructuring at Microsoft, and Dometric was going to be put in charge of more than just Xbox. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But also, some people say that this has been in the works for months. And so I hope he didn't purposely tank the Xbox brand because he knew he was leaving in July. Tigerclaw says, I wonder who's taking his place at next year's E3. I would love to see Phil Harrison on stage since he's done it before. I would actually like to see Jay Allard come back. I'd like to see if they could get Jay Allard or I wouldn't even mind seeing Peter Moore back. I know Peter Moore's like big shot at EA and stuff, but seeing Jay Allard or Peter Moore, they were kind of, to me, they were the guys that got it in terms of the community. In terms of because when the Xbox 360 had all the goodwill with the internet, they had people like the Gamerscore blog, and they had the really community focused events where they had they had all these events around where they invited community members. They had the Zero Hour out in the desert and stuff for the launch of the Xbox 360. They really embraced the community, and then Peter Moore left, Jay Allard left, they all left, and. They then got rid of the Gamerscore blog and kind of lost touch with the community. And that's where Sony's kind of really trying to pick up the pieces and trying to run with what Microsoft had. Because Microsoft had a good idea, and they got rid of it. Just like they got rid of 1 versus 100, and like they got rid of Game Room and all these other great ideas that they had. They just didn't want to support them. And seeing Jay Allard come back or bring in more people that are more community focused than just Major Nelson, because unfortunately Major Nelson, he's just one guy. He can't do it all. And I honestly believe that if the Gamerscore blog was still at Microsoft and those guys that I've known for many years were still there, this wouldn't, the whole DRM fiasco and all that bad publicity and bad press and all that negative coverage wouldn't have happened, because they would have been able to say, this is not a good idea. This is how the internet's going to react. And from what I understand, from people who are Xbox MVPs, Microsoft honestly did not expect the negative reaction. They thought people would be as excited as they were with some of the forward-thinking ideas they were thinking of, you know, being able to digitally trade your game, being able to, you know, not have to have the disc in the drive. They thought people would be excited about that, and unfortunately, they really messed up conveying that message. And so they were actually very shocked and surprised at the negative reaction. And I think that if they still had community-focused guys that weren't just Major Nelson, they would not have been shocked because they would have been warned ahead of time. And that was the thing, is that they're in this little bubble. And I'm going to – this is the anti-consumer me, because last – 2 weeks ago on the show, you can listen to it. Actually, one of the listeners stormed out at the halfway point saying I was anti-consumer for saying stuff like this. But I'm going to say that as a developer – and a programmer, I don't work on huge systems anymore, but I do live in a bubble myself. And when I develop something, I expect it to be used in a very specific way. And then when it gets released or it goes out, people start using it in different way, or they want to use it in a completely different way than I had intended, that I never thought of, because I'm living in my little bubble and I'm expecting thing, you know, and I think everybody thinks like me, which you don't. And I'm shocked at some things that people think that they should be able to do with what I coded, or what they're doing with things that I have coded. And I don't even expect it, because I live in such in a little bubble, and I'm like, this is what we're doing. This is a great idea. I've talked myself into it being a great idea. I spent a lot of time. All I've been doing is tunnel vision, working on my idea. And then it goes out, and either people use it differently or they don't like it. And that's a bitter pill to swallow as a developer sometimes. So keep that in mind if you tell me, like, a feature that's on VOG sucks that, you know, at the time I thought it was a good idea. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we will come back and take your calls about anything going on in the gaming industry, or, you know, anything that I've talked about, or, yeah, gaming industry stuff. We'll take your calls after this break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Professor Shy Guy participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Professor Shy Guy's on tour right now. The tour that was funded by his successful Kickstarter. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. It was a good interview. He is currently on tour. And you can check him out, look him up on Google. I think it's ProfessorShyGuy.com. But yeah, he's on tour right now. So if he's coming to an area near you, he actually does put on a really good show. So check him out there. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and it's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. World War Z, I finally saw the movie. It is nothing like the book. And the book is excellent, and the audiobook is even more excellent. And Brad Pitt's character is actually not in the book at all. So you don't have to worry about Brad Pitt anywhere. But you can get that as your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Also, speaking of concerts, if you live in maybe in East Tennessee, Video Games Live is this Thursday, July 11th, up in Chattanooga. I will actually be up there attending it. I haven't been to Video Games Live in several years. And so it's a totally new show from when I last saw it, I think in 2009. So if you're in the area, Chattanooga. But we actually do have a call now. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, I got through. Shadow Next Gen.
Shadow Next Gen, what's up, man?
Hey, my partner in crime.
Yes. We had some fun in Steelport.
Yes, definitely. It's interesting because I'm one of the lucky few who, as you were describing things, you were kind of towing the line so as not to spoil that I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And even when you were talking about the voice actors, I almost put who it was in chat, but that I was careful to see you didn't mention it yourself, so I held off.
And if you really want to know who it is, other previews totally mention it. Like, there are other previews that are like, this is what you do first, this is what you do second, this is what you do. So if you want a spoiler filled preview, they're all over the web, and they were all posted on July 3rd. I don't want to do that because a lot of the magic for me was realizing, are they just about to do what I think? Yes, they are. And that's a lot of the magic for me, and a lot of people are going through and saying exactly what goes on. But I think it's best to not be spoiled. But if you want to spoil yourself, it's out there on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So it's good to hear that you're kind of getting back on your feet a little bit.
I am. I am actually pretty much the lightning damage. Pretty much everything has been repaired or replaced by now. The only thing left to do is because I'm not actually replacing my Xbox 360, the Slim, or the 360S, I have to go to a friend's house tomorrow because he's got a 360S. I'm going to take my hard drive and a USB stick, and I'm basically going to like copy all my saves off of it.
Yeah.
And because basically what wound up happening is both my 360s actually completely died. Like I have an older 360 that red ringed.
Yeah.
And it was not an overheating red ring, so once he fixed that, it was still completely, like, the Ethernet port was dead and all this other stuff. So basically, he put a Falcon 360, which is still the older model, inside the shell that I had, because I had the Halo 3 Special Edition shell. Mm-hmm. And so now that works, so that's going to become my new main 360. It's got a 120 gig hard drive in it, and that's really all I need. Mm-hmm. So it's just I need to actually utilize cloud saving.
Yeah.
And but I did lose my PS3.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's... Yeah, and unfortunately, like, it worked, and then I sent it to him, and I didn't realize that you needed, in order to fix the HDMI port, which I thought was a hardware thing, apparently you need to do a factory reset on the console. And and that formats your hard drive. And so guess who didn't back up all his saves before sending it to the repair guy?
Yeah.
This guy. So I lost 7 years' worth of saves. And when I got it back, it didn't read disks, and it didn't load any apps. So there was actually a problem with the PCB board as well, which worked fine before. So,
yeah, I've had something similar happen. I didn't lose 7 years, but a few years ago when my 360 did red ring, and I had to send it off to Microsoft, and the thing that kind of hurt me the most was I lost my Oblivion save that probably had a couple hundred hours in it.
Yeah, well, I think Microsoft even asked, no, don't send in the hard drive. Like back in the day, they would say detach the hard drive before sending it.
I think in that instance, they told me, whoever it was, probably gave me bad information, but go ahead and send it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But no good. But he was actually the guy, you know, he basically what he did is he hooked me up with a PS3 Slim for, you know, a very, like, a lot cheaper than I would have gotten at Best Buy. So, like, you know, the cost of the initial repair of the HDMI port plus the cost he charged me for the Slim was still well below anything at Best Buy. So now I have 160 gig Slim. And, yes, the first thing I did was, and well, actually, the main save I was upset about losing was Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
And because I had put, you know, I didn't get to Grand Pulse, but I was at the chapter right before it.
Okay, and so chapter 10, I believe.
Yeah, so, I had played it, and I had actually gone back and, like, beaten the boss that I was having so much trouble with. And so I was like, damn it, well, I, you know, lost that. But I got, since I have 160 gig Slim now, I went and I'm like, I'm going to go get PlayStation Plus now. Because the reason I didn't re-get PlayStation Plus was because I only had a 60 gig PS3. I didn't want to upgrade the hard drive in, and I didn't want to go through all that crap. And I couldn't take part in your instant game collection because all these games are like 10 gigs, 20 gigs, stuff like that. And you need twice the amount of free space to install it. Because if it's a 10 gig download, then you need 20 gigs available because it downloads it, and then it extracts it, and then it deletes the original download. And I didn't have 20 gigs. So I rebought PlayStation Plus, reactivated it, and I was like, oh, and I looked in the cloud saving, and guess what was the only game I used with cloud saving?
What was that?
Final Fantasy 13.
Nice.
Now, it's before I went back and beat the boss, but I'm still on Chapter 10. So I maybe lost maybe 3 hours.
Okay. That's much better than 50.
Yes. So, but I still lost, like, my Little Big Planet stuff. And, you know, but the PS3 was never really my main gaming console. It was always my 360.
Yeah.
Because my 360s were all my Forza saves were, and my Rock Band saves, and all that stuff. And all that stuff I'm going to rescue tomorrow.
Well,
so.
Did you hear about some of the pre-order items for Lightning Returns?
No, I didn't.
So, you know, you get your Steelbook, which you get on a lot of different games. But there's also some Final Fantasy VII content that you'll get with it. So it's Square trolling their audience again, basically.
Yeah.
You'll get a code that will let you get the Soldier First Class uniform, as well as Cloud's Buster Sword and Soldier's Band from Final Fantasy VII.
Wow.
And there will also be, you know, like the victory poses and the and the fanfare from VII. So I saw the trailer that, you know, had like the victory music from Final Fantasy VII when Lightning won a battle. So yeah, it's Square completely trolling their customers.
Of course. Because like, they know you want that remake.
It's like, we know you guys want it, so here you go.
Yeah, and then they're like, okay, here you go. We'll just release it on Steam.
Yeah.
Which, it's on Steam, and you can get achievements now.
You know, I looked at that achievement list. I did all of those achievements back on the PS1.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's too bad that there's no possible way that could ever transfer or anything. But it's like, I did all this.
But yeah, but I lost. I didn't actually lose any saves for my PS1 and my PS2. I maybe lost like my Persona 4 save, but I got that for the Vita. And okay. I'm actually farther on the Vita version than I was on the PS2 version.
Which I hear the Vita version is basically the definitive version.
It is. I so prefer the Vita version of Persona 4 Golden. I've actually been playing that, and that's awesome. And stuff. But all my other save games were actually also on memory cards. So like I didn't lose like my Katamari save or anything like that. So, you know, I lose the backwards compatibility, but I have a working PS2 again, thanks to one of the listeners. Yeah. And I have component cable, so if I really wanted to hook it up to my main TV, it'd take me, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, and hopefully, theoretically, Gaikai is going to give us backwards compatibility on PS4.
Yeah, but then again, you know, video lag. I mean, I need Google Fiber before I'll really trust something like Gaikai.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure, what did you think about that other story that was going around with Watch Dogs?
Yeah, so you kind of fill me in on this because you started something.
Well, I wasn't. I was part of something. Like, I wasn't the very, very first person, I don't think, but I was like probably a part of a collection of people where supposedly, let me make sure I have my facts right here. Watch Dogs producer Dominic Guai, I think that's how you pronounce his name, probably not. Amongst other things, he claimed that Watch Dogs on Xbox One will have a more dynamic city than the other versions.
Including the PS4?
From what it sounded like, he said, here, I'll read you a little bit of a quote here, a little short paragraph. It said, for example, we're able to simulate the water in full 3D. If you go on a boat, the waves that form will affect other boats. We're able to spend more time giving brains to the other people on the streets so that they can basically be smarter and there could be more of them. It's what I call dynamism. Basically, the way the city reacts to you. We were able to push further on the Xbox One.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a clarification about the, you know, that versus the PS4 as well. I mean, I can understand that between that and the current gen consoles, but, you know, I think that there's a lot of confusion about if that's the Xbox One's better than the PS4 or if that's, you know, if he actually, you know, because there's multiple different ways to read it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And I guess he was talking about, you know, like physics calculations, too, that they could do on the cloud.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. So now it's Ubisoft, or at least one guy from Ubisoft.
Yeah.
And also Titanfall, you know, Respawn has been raving about Microsoft's cloud, too.
Yeah.
About how supposedly they never would have tried Titanfall without, you know, the whatever cloud servers Microsoft has come up with.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting to see how it all turns out.
I mean, and here's the thing. It's all about making better games. And
it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And it was funny how many, it seemed like how many Sony fanboys that kind of pissed off this week.
Yeah.
With that.
And it's, I hope right now, I mean, and you know, I've been bashed for, you know, sitting there saying, hey, Microsoft did have some good ideas. They just talked about them poorly and implemented them poorly. And when they got rid of their design decision, they had to get rid of those ideas for now. But I hope now, and I want to make this clear, I hope now we can just start talking about the games and not about the systems and the service and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because now they're kind of the same. And it's just they have different ideas on how to implement things. So now we can talk about the games rather than, you know, so you can use play used games on PS4 and not on Xbox One. Now we can talk about you can play Drive Club on PS4 and Forza 5 on 360. Which one's the better game? That's the conversation I like to have.
Definitely. And I'm still very much with the belief that both consoles, they're both basically all-in-one consoles, mm-hmm. despite the internet freaking out and getting mad at Microsoft because theirs was all-in-one and not a gaming machine.
Right.
Which, and you know, I just came across a story recently on IGN saying, you know, Sony trademarked an application for, quote, PlayStation TV. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I mean, PlayStation, they're the first ones that did an actual TV show.
Yeah.
Just for their network. The Tester was a PlayStation Network TV show. So they were actually. And Netflix, the PS3 version, now actually has a little guide that, you know, helps you decide what to watch.
Yeah,
based on all
that.
Your stuff. And that's only on the PS3. That's not on their website. That's not on any other app. That's not on iPhone. It's just on the PS3 for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, even for me, like, the PS3 is my main media box.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my PS3 has become The Last of Us box.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that game, but it's still too zombie-ish for me.
I've been pretty addicted to that game lately. I haven't been on the 360 a whole lot, so... Right.
Well, I haven't been on much of anything.
Yes, unfortunately. But that's going to change soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on Saints Row 4, but that's on Steam, so...
You can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, the light's there.
At least for this instance.
Yeah. So. All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have fun talking to Loki.
Yeah. Don't mention him. He's going to be so mad. So that's the only call we'll take tonight. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk for much longer than I do. Orange Lounge Radio, Sacramento, are you guys finally there?
Yes, we're here. That was weird because I did no mistake on my part this week.
No.
Skype's being very strange.
Yeah, Skype's not liking me tonight. It's crashed during the show. It crashed before the show.
Must be those wonderful Azure servers that Microsoft's running over.
Yes.
I was about to throw in a dig there, and you get to use this exciting application to talk to all your friends.
Yes.
On Xbox One. Oh, come on. Couldn't resist a dig.
Yes. Exactly. Skype knew that we were about to talk bad about Microsoft.
Exactly. Exactly. It knew.
Yes.
Because it monitors all your conversations.
It does. And it's kind of funny. Like, I've actually watched people, like, complain about, you know, the whole NSA thing, which is something very legitimate to complain about. But they're like, I can't believe they're monitoring my Skype calls that I use those to record my podcasts all the time. And I'm like, so you're upset about the NSA monitoring your calls that you freely put out on the internet in MP3 format?
Yeah, but I don't get the additional web traffic.
That's true. Hi, NSA. How you doing?
They robbed me of more hits than Stitcher. Oh, wait. They fixed that. Just kidding, y'all.
So, we've kind of talked about, you know, kind of my predicament, and I tweeted this picture earlier, because I know that you've kind of helped get the word out on something that when I was going through everything that got damaged in the lightning, I was going through all my classic console, and there was one console that didn't work anymore, and it was the one that was connected to the coax and stuff, and that's where the lightning came in, and it was my Neo Geo, and I'm like, if anybody can fix a Neo Geo AES US edition, let me know, and bonus if they can mod it. Because it doesn't have any mods. It doesn't have the BIOS mod where I can set the region and play Japanese games in it. And it doesn't have the S-Video output for better video and all that stuff. And so I got my Wii U back from Nintendo with all my stuff on it. So cool for them. And, it, you know, so that was under warranty. And I'm like, I'm going to finally get my Neo Geo A out of this so I could, you know, maybe get it ready and get it packaged up and figure out stuff. And the plug that I thought was the Neo Geo's was actually not the Neo Geo's plug. And I look next to the surge protector, and there's the Neo Geo's plug just sitting there on the floor. And I'm like, wait a minute. And so I plug that in, and I turn on the Neo Geo, and I start playing Magician Lord.
There it is.
So I was an idiot for not realizing that it wasn't plugged in at all, or I was a genius for not having it plugged in, and therefore it wasn't affected.
Well, let's be real. I mean, a lot of gamers, when you probably look behind the TV, it looks like a Christmas tree box of lights that hasn't been touched, you know, that somehow they just all get wound up in themselves. So, you know, I look, I can't be bothered to hit save on our website sometimes. It's going to happen where, you know, you swear that one thing was plugged in because you were playing it an XYZ date and it wasn't, and it happens.
So other than the PS2 and probably the GameCube, I think all my vintage consoles completely survived.
That's I mean, it sucks that you lost something, but I'm glad to hear the Neo Geo is kind of a tough one. So if you still want to get it with the S video and all that other stuff, you'll still have to send it out, but at least it would have the lightning damage part of it.
Right.
So.
It still perfectly works. But then again, I just sent my PS3 that perfectly worked except for the video and lost everything on it. So I'm kind of scared now. Do I really want to mess with it?
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe you should just, after everything that happened with the other console that got screwed up, maybe you just hang on to this for a little while.
Yeah. I'll just enjoy my U.S. Magician Lord's the only game I got on it, because you look on eBay and all the games are Japanese games, and this one can't play a Japanese cartridge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, all the decently priced ones are Japanese.
Oh, gotcha.
The U.S. ones are, you know, still close to their original price.
Yeah, they're still collector's items, and can you just put the cartridges in an arcade cabinet, or no? They're special boards.
They're
or something.
Somewhat different. Dark Sakura or Dan might know more.
Yeah,
but there's the AES and then the MVS. That's your arcade board, and so they're slightly different.
Your address, I could send you an MVS board and a 48-in-1 cartridge and a super gun.
Is that you, or is that you impersonating Jamie?
No, that's me. I actually have that stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Jeez.
Yeah, but I don't have anything to put that board in.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's an MVS board. It's a JAMA board. You plug in the card. The JAMA card plugs into the super gun, which a super gun is basically a device that you can hook up arcade boards to a TV. Oh. So it has this video out. It has you know your regular stuff. Plus, it's pinned out for Neo Geo controllers. So you just plug your Neo Geo controller in there. The only thing you need to add is just a PC power supply.
He's giving it all away.
I know what he wants.
I don't want anything. I'm just saying, no, I'm serious. I don't want anything. I literally have it sitting in a drawer at my desk at work, and it's been sitting there for like at least a year. Because I got it in my arcade cabinet when I bought it, and now I have a MAME cabinet or MAME setup in there, so I don't need it anymore.
Everybody in chat's like, you know, if Bobby doesn't want it, I don't
know. No, I do want it. I'm just like, he wants my Saints Row 4 code.
I don't want your Saints Row. Dude, it's like a couple months away. Seriously, it's fine. Besides, Grand Theft Auto is right around the corner, and I'll be playing that first.
All right.
Maybe.
He just wants to continue to be your PlayStation friend. That's all.
Which now that I've got a PlayStation again, maybe we can start playing some PlayStation games again.
There you go.
Exactly. And no, seriously, my thing is, like, I have all this stuff sitting there. Someone better, you know, if someone's going to get more use out of it than I am, then by all means, you know, they can have it. Because
I will send you my address.
All right. Sounds good.
Because I have PC power supplies.
Awesome.
Well, good. Now, the only caveat here is I haven't tested the super gun yet, so I don't know if it works, but I have a few. So if one doesn't work, then maybe the other one will.
All right. So what else have I missed in the past 2 weeks?
drama.
Yeah.
Just more. I think you've touched on all the big stuff. You know, a lot of focus still on Microsoft and the big 180, as most people have been calling it since E3. But there's been, you know, some other things as well. Things going on with Nintendo and Sony. I think it's just the excitement towards ramping up towards the console launch. I find it very interesting. We still really don't know exactly what games are launching with which console. I mean, one can kind of speculate. Drive Club's got to be a launch day for the PS4 because they're already talking about giving that away on PlayStation Plus or the trial edition or whatever it's called. You can figure Knack is probably there on the PlayStation 4. As far as the Xbox One goes, everything they showed was launch window, the first 12 months. So we don't know exactly what's coming out on the day. You know, we don't know some of the specifics yet. And I'm assuming we probably won't really know that until late August, September, kind of like the Labor Day time frame. Along with the exact days, because we don't know those either. But lots of speculation, of course, around all that.
Yeah. And I missed getting to talk all about Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Yeah, that's a huge thing in the 3DS camp. Obviously, lots of people into Animal Crossing. People that don't even normally play games that I know are so into Animal Crossing. Grandpa from Horde House calls it Farmville, which, you know, obviously it's not. But it is interesting how casually accessible, from casual to hardcore, really, something like Animal Crossing is.
And they don't even have the virtual console games in it.
No, not anymore.
They haven't had the GameCube version still good until 2032. So you could still play the GameCube version.
What happens in 2032?
I think that's when the like GameCube clock stops working.
Oh, like anyone has an accurate time in that game. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, you just always cheat the time warp and start all over.
So, all right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
You as always, Bobby.
So that's it for me. I should be back on a normal schedule now, hopefully. Other things are still going on. So if things get a little crazy, just bear with me. And there's, like I said, it's stuff I haven't actually told you guys about. The lightning strike stuff, that's pretty much taken care of. Insurance, I'm not even dealing with because the deductible is too high. But we should be back on track, especially with the podcast as well. Thank you so much for staying subscribed over the past month. I really do appreciate it. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. Catch live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or a bumper for use on the show. Toll-free number is 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me the MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. You can join me on Facebook, facebook.com/bobbyblackwolf, or on Twitter, @bobbyblackwolf, or on my website. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone, especially if they unsubscribe over the last month, because there hasn't been an episode for 3 weeks, there was only 2 episodes behind. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Misty, Ronmo, Rob Roberts, The Rob D, VXJSNXV, DeBlue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Mike 2, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Act Deft, Alpha Anagram, Blood Drunk, Bob Coffey, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Burr, CL, Dave Falcon, Degenerate Johnny, Dungeon Buster, E3VL, Eric RPG, Game Guru, Giovedea, Cousin, Masked Bishop, Matt Cube, Melted General, Orange Wright, Queen Simia, Raginator, SSJ100, Matt, Takey, Technus, Tigerclaw, Toagak, True, Warrior Bob, Wyland, What Up G, William Murderface, Zappy, Zeba, and Zether. So that is it for me. I should hopefully be playing games again soon, too, after I edit 3 episodes of the podcast, but then I will get to play some games. Because NCAA Football 14 is coming out, and I'm a whore for that. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.